This is Shooting Spaces with Rich Baum and Brian Berkowitz.
Hello and welcome to Shooting Spaces. This is Brian Berkowitz from New York, although reporting from Boston.
Boston. This is Rich Baum from smoky, as we've been for a few weeks, smoky Northern California. But I'm alive and we're doing okay.
Awesome. And what's going on, Rich? And if for anyone listening, Rich and I both don't have our actual mics with us. So if we sound a little
I don't think
distant,
they can tell. I don't think so.
Maybe not. But that is why. But we still wanted to bring you all an episode. And, you know, we, like I said in the post, we apologize for not being able to come through last week. But we are back today. And we have one more great episode next week before we our season comes to an end.
Yeah. And, you know, as far as those iPods, I got to tell you, I think we do a whole session on how social media and everything has really changed. And now things that, you know, lag in Zoom calls on big Hollywood production newscasts and things like that, interviews, amazing how people are putting up with this issues. And I think it's going to really change everything coming in the future. You know, our business is all this kind of business is evolving continuously. And I think that people's are going to let down, you know, it's kind of the be in the now thing with these iPods, you know, earpods and
the AirPods.
AirPod. Well, you know it because you just bought them. So I forgot what they were called, but yeah. I think that, I think it's going to be good if people aren't as strict. They're going more for content and instead of production value. And I think that, you know, production value is obviously important, but I think people are putting up with and accepting and maybe even liking things they wouldn't have liked before. You know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I hear you. Before we get into it, let me talk about one of our sponsors, Cloud Pano. A fast way to add revenue to your business is 360 virtual tours with cloudpano.com. Get started today for only $1. Try Cloud Pano Pro Plus, add revenue to your business, and continue doing what you love. Visit shootingspaces.net/cloudpano and start your $1 trial on Cloud Pano Pro Plus today. I'm stuttering my words over there. You're laughing at me, Rich.
I'm not laughing. I'm smiling deeply inside. Okay.
All right. Oh, we're also, for those who are watching on YouTube, we apologize that we couldn't bring you video this week, but we should be back next week with video. Next week, we have this episode, which is going to be an Ask the Guys and us, you know, doing our normal banter. But next week, which is going to be our final episode of the season before we break for a little bit, we have an unbelievable episode, which we already recorded with, should we tease it?
Sure.
With Brandon from PFRE, who's going to basically break down the entire virtual conference from top to bottom with all the speakers and everything. So it's pretty exciting. And the roster for the conference is insane.
Yeah. And so people that maybe that are living under a rock somewhere don't know. The PFRE conference, which was the first one last year in Las Vegas in November last year, we all went there and had a great time. Year two comes and we're planning on going back to Vegas, the same place, kind of do the same thing, but better. And then COVID hits. So Brandon had to get in flexible mode, and he's done an incredible job where it's going to be a full virtual conference this year. And as Brian, you just said, the roster, the lineup of information is going to be really great with some great speakers, the best in the business. And it's going to be emphasis also on more stuff for beginners and people that might not think of going all the way to Vegas, although they should, but they might not do it. But now you can join it and also watch it at the time of recording, and also replay it for I think a month or two. So you gotta check out the details, but it's going to be a great thing, and I'm really, really excited about
23 presenters.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
And we also have today's Tuesday, so we also have 2 days from now is our webinar with Barry Grossman.
2 days from now.
Well, 2 days from the release.
From now. I was playing the future thing. That's great. I'm looking forward to it. Actually, in my mind, I'm going, okay, I'm not ready in 2 days. Okay, no, I'm going to be ready next week. And it's going to be great that Barry Grossman, if you haven't heard the podcast, we interviewed Barry, go check him out. He's one of the top photographers in the business. So it's going to be great.
Yeah, coincidentally, I told you this, Rich. Coincidentally, Barry and I are both shooting in Boston this week. Random coincidence. And we are going to go out. You're giving me the finger, Rich. Barry and I are going to go out for dinner tonight. So it's exciting. I'm excited to actually meet him face to face. We've been friends online for months now. And it's going to be exciting. So hopefully we'll strategize and plan out the webinar tonight. Get some good ideas.
I'm going to say I'm envious for you. You know what the difference between envy and jealousy is?
What's that?
Envy is you want to be there and you're kind of like upset, like you're like mad, but you really want you to go have a really good time. Jealousy means I don't even want you to go. So I'm envious. I want to be there, but I'm glad that you can be there. So,
oh, thank you.
I'd like to be a fly on the wall.
Hey, I'll record our conversation and send it over to you.
Oh, my dinner with Barry.
You can release it as a podcast episode. Hey. Anyway, let's get to it. We haven't asked the guy's question. Give me a sec and let me figure out how to play it with these little AirPods I'm using. Give me 1 second. We should be all set.
Hi, guys. I had a question for you. I don't know if you've already addressed this in a previous podcast. I'm curious to hear your thoughts, the pros and cons of outsourcing your post-processing of your jobs. I've heard that other photographers just do the shooting and then outsource, and it allows them to shoot more homes each week. So I would love to know your thoughts on it and how you can kind of ensure that you're getting the quality of processing that you would do yourself. Looking forward to your answers. Thanks. This is Sue Oriema from Susan Oriema Photography on the North Shore of Long Island.
All right. Thank you, Sue. And Sue is actually a Long Island-based photographer. I know her. We refer work back and forth and have a lot of mutual clients. So thank you for submitting your question, Sue. That's an interesting question because, Rich, I know you don't outsource. And I usually don't unless I get really busy, although I've started outsourcing some of my architectural work. So it's an interesting question. And I know you were about to say something, so I interrupted you. You have a thought or?
Yeah, well, no, you can interrupt me anytime. I just was kind of thinking to myself, what a great, pertinent conversation. Everybody's talking about it now, and I've certainly got a few thoughts about it, and I know you do. Maybe you speak first because you've got more experience at it than I do.
Yeah, so as far as the second part of the question, how do you find consistency in your outsourcing so that it matches your work? For the sake of being brutally honest, I don't think you ever will. you edit how you edit and you edit for a look and you can train people as much as you can, but it's never going to be 100% what you deliver or what you can do yourself. Number one, because you like to produce a look, your work that has a certain look to it, and it's always hard for someone to replicate it to a T. Now you can train somebody and get 90-95%, but I don't think it's ever going to be exactly what you would produce yourself. Maybe better, maybe worse, but not exactly the same. I think when it comes to real estate photography, especially if you're looking to scale up or shoot more, I think the pros of outsourcing outweigh the cons, con being not looking exactly the same, because first of all, for real estate photography, I don't want to say this, but I don't think it makes such a difference that maybe 5% of a difference, I don't think at the end of the day is going to make or break you, or I don't think an agent will even notice. But I definitely think that outsourcing those images will give you the ability, as you said, Sue, to either scale up, hire more photographers, or get more shoots done. I mean, I know we all live in the same boat. I do it, you do it, Rich. You know, you get back from shooting all day and you're at the computer for 2, 3, 4 hours editing. So, or even an hour if you have a smaller shoot, whatever the case is. So even if, you know what, not even scaling up for that matter, just thinking about getting some more time back to yourself. You know, if you're shooting all day, and you want to come home at 5, 6 o'clock and be able to just sit down and relax with your family and know you're done for the day. And when you wake up in the next morning and your images are all in your Dropbox or wherever, whatever you do, for that maybe 5 or 10% difference that outsourcer might not deliver, I mean, that's worth it to me. I don't know about you.
Yeah, no, I think there's so much to talk about in this. And I guess my take on it is I have never actually had anybody outsource a shoot for me, but I have sent out several tests and I have also gotten a lot of feedback from people. So the things I know a lot about it, and part of it is, I think, first of all, I don't outsource because I don't really need to or want to. I kind of enjoy editing, and my workflow is not such that I'm running on empty all the time. So if you're busy, by all means, and I think that you, as you said, you've got to weigh out that percentage of is it better, is it worse, to what is it fixing and what is it helping. And I think there are so many areas that can help in. But one of the areas is, yeah, man, you got to not only get your life, but literally for the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, I was shooting 12 to 16 hours a day, and I was running out of time. And that was a real time that I would like to have the outsourcing. Unfortunately, it was a commercial shoot, so I couldn't really depend upon it, because I'll talk about it in a second. But I think that If you have got a lot of work, I think you have to do that. So I think everybody should try it. So in case you need it. But with that said, I think you've got to be, one thing people have noticed, especially the beginners, they're thinking that outsourcing is a part of the whole project, the product. When you're learning, you don't edit, you outsource. And that's a problem, mainly because I know people get their photos back and they have to go over them every time because there will be an inconsistency. And it might be as simple as adjusting the vibrance or adjusting exposure overall. So it could be a quick fix to get it more into your liking. But if you have a botched shoot from an editor, I've heard horror stories, you get it back. If you can't fix it yourself, I don't think that outsourcing is an answer to not needing to learn or spend the time in Lightroom or Photoshop. So that's one thing I've noticed a lot of people, and I think that's a bad road to go down. So I think that when you find the company that works for you, you might get consistency 9 out of 10 times. You might get it less, but I think you've got to be prepared for that one time. Now, I know...
Hey, can I interrupt you for a second, though?
Yeah, please.
Because based off what you said, when you find that company, and I'm going to say just solely based on my experience is when you're hiring a company to outsource, that's when you have the more negative results. I have found more positive results when I find an actual individual who might not be part of a company, who's just basically a me, wherever he is overseas, okay, but he just edits photos all day. But at least you know it's the same person every time editing your photos. And you know, people overseas, they'll work 16, 18 hours a day just editing all day. So they'll still turn around your stuff in a day, even if it's one guy. But when I send it out to a company, and I know there are companies out there that promise the same person or the same crew every time. But you know how that goes. But
exactly.
You know, it's a lot of inconsistency. But when I found, and you know, when I do outsource, I have, you know, there's one person I use, which I mean, unless I'm really busy now, I've been outsourcing a little bit because I'm traveling so much. There's one individual who I know does all the work, himself, and I send it over and might not necessarily look like the work I'm producing, but at least all of his work looks the same that he's giving me back. So yeah. I'm able to know how to adjust it. It's not like I get 20 images back and they're all way too cool. And then I send the next job over and they're all too warm and I have to, you know what I mean? So everything is always consistent. So I can sort of create a preset based on the stuff he's giving back to me and, you know, a quick apply the preset and I'm done.
Well, I like that idea. I definitely, that would appeal more to me. I just have to find somebody. And also, I'd really have to, I guess I'm kind of cheap in a way, but because I have a hard time paying a lot of money to have somebody else edit for me. But when you come down,
well, that's
you don't
the other
the
thing.
Time,
I'm sorry for interrupting you again, yeah. But I found that when you go cheap with your outsourcing, you're going to get shitty results. Mm. And I know it's tough because we don't make a lot of money in real estate photography to go out and have to pay $1 or $2 or $3 a picture. You know, if you're shooting 25 pictures and you're paying $2 a picture, $50 of your income is going towards the outsourcer. But if your work looks that much better, you know, just try to compensate a little bit and raise your prices ever so slightly to compensate. And just think of the time you're getting back. So that time, an hour or 2 hours you're going to spend editing anyway, you're going to get that back anyway. So it's not necessarily definitely equating dollar for dollar to, let's say, $50, because you're gaining an hour or two back.
I understand. And I really need to find somebody, because in the event that I do need to have it, I would like to have somebody in my back pocket that I can call upon. So
I'll make an introduction.
What's that? Yeah,
I'll make an introduction.
No, please, out there, do not send me unsolicited editing information. I am notoriously not good. I have a hard time. I don't really like to invite editors into my groups because I just I know that they are notorious for sending.
We release at 12 p.m. on Tuesdays Eastern. 1 p.m. Tuesday, you're going to have an influx of emails from editors in your inbox.
Everywhere. Okay.
Exactly.
Yeah, there you go. But
now
you know what? It's
now they're hitting me up
idea.
On Instagram all the
yeah,
time.
Yeah, no, I have a really good video editor. So I've got that all set up.
So do I. Yeah, I don't do any of my own videos. I outsource everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Now that's something I would say is different for me. I think it's okay not to learn or spend the time to learn how to edit video, because that's a whole nother ball game. But photography, still images, I think you need to learn and know how to edit your own work. So
yeah, I mean, look, there's something to it, because you know, I spend so much time editing. I mean, I don't edit anymore, but I used to edit all my own videos. I kind of put the thing, when I'm shooting video, I put it together in my head and only shoot the clips that I know I need. You know, that's one thing that my editor actually told me when I started working with her, is that I like working with you because everything that you shoot ends up in the final piece, versus sometimes she'll get footage from a new client and, you know, let's say a 2 minute piece, let's say it has 40 clips or 35 clips, whatever, 30 clips, she'll end up getting 120 clips because they just overshoot and shoot everything they can think of. And it makes the editor's job that much harder. So, you know, when I go on site, I kind of,
nightmare.
Yeah. So I kind of know what shots I already need, because I'm sort of putting this, the whole story and the whole piece together in my head on site. So I'm able to literally provide, I mean, if I provide 40 shots, I would say 36, 37 of them are ending up in the final piece. So,
but here, going back to our listener's question, I think if you're getting started in this, I don't think you have an option. I think you have to save some money. And I think that you could probably get away with it. Just be flexible. Go find a good online, a company or an individual that's charging something you find that you can pay, and then do it. So, you know.
But I just want to reiterate what you said, because I think it's important, and it's that do it yourself first, because you have to, you know, you have to learn. I forgot which conversation it was. We had a conversation a couple of weeks ago on an episode we released. We were talking about technique. And maybe it was the Facebook Live we did with Barry. I don't remember, but it was kind of, maybe it was an Ask the Guys, who knows, but it was, I said something along the lines of, you know, learn all the techniques you can first before you start fine tuning your look. Same thing with editing. You know, go ahead and do it and make sure you know everything. This way you can then at that point, worst case, if your outsourcer is not available, at least you know you can jump in there and get it done. But then also you can train them to give your look and what you're exactly you're looking for.
Okay. And with that said, I'd like to say that HD Photo Hub is a real estate photographer's business platform for payment collection, online ordering, scheduling, photo delivery, property websites, and more, with tons and tons of new features. If you haven't seen them lately, take a look today at hdphotohub.com. That's hdphotohub.com. And with that, I will say that you're able to use businesses like HD Photo Hub too to simplify and make your business more effective. And I guess the bottom line is get more time to spend with your family and do the other things you want to do, you know?
No, for sure. Or even just scale up your business. I remember we had this conversation. I think it was in Ask the Guys that Nima Mohammadi submitted probably mm-hmm. about a year ago, maybe a year and a half, when he was at a point in his business where he was like, I want to scale up now. What's the best approach?
Bring an admin on.
Should I find an admin person? And I know now Nima actually has another photographer working with him. But I think also, a big step for him was when he started outsourcing his images, because he's doing 900 or so shoots a year. I mean, you can't shoot that much and then go back and edit 900 shoots a year. That's, you know, 20 hours a day. So I think when you're ready to start scaling up your business to the point where you're either bringing on other photographers or you want to start shooting, if you have the drive to do it 4 to 5 houses a day, you're going to have to outsource. If you're shooting 5 houses a day, it's 20, 25 houses a week. You can't shoot that much and then edit it all. I mean, it's not possible. You're going to wear yourself out in 2-3 years if you're going at that speed. So,
and something's going to sacrifice. Something's going to give. You're shooting. You're going to miss it on something. And so you've got to manage your time. I guess that's the biggest part about this whole thing is time management and finding out what works for your business.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's funny that you say time management, because I think that's one of the things that people neglect the most is valuing their time. And, you know, if you get an hour or two back every day when you're not editing, like, what is that worth to you? And is that worth the minimal amount you're going to pay for an outsourcer? I mean, in my opinion, typically, yes. I mean, sometimes I have no choice because I'm just too busy and I have too much on my plate, I'm traveling, whatever the case is, I have to outsource. But, you know, there are times where, you know, if I get home from a whole day of shooting and I have 3 jobs on my table and I'm like, I get home and I'm exhausted and I just don't want to spend all night editing, and I'll just email my outsourcer and say, hey, I just threw some stuff on Dropbox and I have it the next day. And you know what? It costs me a couple of bucks. I lose some money off it, but like I get home and I can relax with the family at night. I don't have to worry about it.
You made a good point. It doesn't have to be an ongoing thing that you factor into your economics. It could be just a fund that when it just gets so busy, and you know, you'll make it up on the other end. So yeah, no, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, that's what I do exactly. When I need it, it's there. But I'm not sending consistently stuff over to the outsourcer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great, man. Let me ask you, is your outsourcer in the U.S. or overseas?
Overseas.
Okay.
Yeah, great. Vietnam. But my video editor is here in the U.S. So, and I found that to be more beneficial because, you know, I was kind of training the video editor with what I like to do and my style and my look when I started with her. And I feel like there would have been too much of a language barrier having to deal with that process overseas. Whereas sending my photos overseas, I mean, there are so many people that do it. It was like, I basically explained them, here is my Flambian shots, do what you do. And based on what I get back, I'm going to send you my feedback and what I like looking for. So the training process from the photo standpoint was a little easier because so many more people and so many more outsourcers are available from a photo side of things. So.
There are so many. Oh my gosh.
I get hit up everywhere.
50 coming into the groups.
You know, it's funny. I don't get so many emails anymore from outsourcers. Now it's all Instagram and Facebook messages nonstop. Yeah.
So. But you can tell them right away. I love it. It's like not hard to tell who is it. It's kind of funny sometimes.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the ones I get, they don't even like try to initiate conversation. They just say, "Hi, I'm photo editor from so-and-so. Here's my pricing." Yeah.
And another one is the subject matter of an email, and this is just general business. It will be regarding our past conversation, and that way they get you hooked in there, kind of. So you go to the next line, and it says, "Yeah, I didn't get your reply, so I didn't know if you had time to discuss what we had talked about." Well, we had never talked about anything, or whatever he says. But you know, it's just give him creativity. But anyway. I think that, go Godspeed with you and at least find an editor or an editing solution. So when you need it, because you're going to be so busy because your business is so great, then, you got somebody to use. That's it.
Cool. And I wanted to say publicly, Rich, I know, you spoke about it briefly, the commercial shoot you did a couple of weeks ago, but you sent me some of those images looking hot. Good stuff.
Oh, you know what? I'll tell people. I'm the first one to say I'm an okay shooter. I'm not the best. There are definitely a lot better shooters than me. But you get to the point, and you're able to make stuff work, and it is. You know what you need to get. You know the shots you need. You get extra brackets, and you can bail yourself out in Photoshop. But I got a huge photo list with you. Till I tell you the amount of photos I am going to actually deliver to them. It's insane, but they're paying for it. It was challenging, but I've got all the tricks in my bag. I've got my lights, I've got my camera, and I've got my, I know the shots I need to get so I can be successful in editing. So as we all know, we've got to be thinking of our edit as we're setting up for our shot. So it's all one, you know.
Exactly. Cool stuff. And how is it going over there in California? Are you guys safe with the fires? It's getting better. Yeah. It's still,
it is getting, it fluctuates. No, I don't have the statistics today, but it is the worst season in history. The largest fire in history. There is one fire that now is the size of New Jersey, I think. One fire. We have, 36, I think we have 36 major burns in California alone. Oregon is really hosed.
Yeah. Is that anything near you?
Oh, shoot. We've got, Nick Schwarzendruber. Nick's right near one of the fires, and so is a lot of my other friends. And there's a fire in the San Jose, so San Francisco. But the big thing is you can, different days it's different because the wind direction. And one interesting thing I found out yesterday was they were expecting to have winds yesterday morning, which were going to really affect the firefighting. And the winds did not show up. So they went and tried to investigate, learn why it happened. And what happened was these fires are so big, they're creating their own weather. And there was a level above the clouds of warm air that didn't allow the wind to come in. That's why it changed it. So it's like, it's a whole new ball game. And got the hurricane in Louisiana. I mean, criminy. 2020. Hey, I remember I was saying that 2020 is going to rock, man.
We have that. It's on record. We have you on record saying that.
It is freaking
2020 is going to be the best year yet.
Record. It's fucking real freaking rocking.
Yeah, oh I think God, we have you on record saying
that. Oh, yeah. My God. I'm a bad boy.
Okay. I think we have you on record saying 2020 is going to be the best year yet. So
it was until February.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh God! I just wish everybody out there. I hope you're doing okay. And I am floored. I'm as busy as I am. I'm just can't even imagine it. But real estate's doing great here.
Yeah, I mean, from what I hear, it's starting to pick up all over the industry. So, I know we picked up in New York a couple months ago, back in late June, early July, it started turning around. But I think other places that were hit with the pandemic a little later than us are now starting to finally come back around. So
great.
Hopefully great. the end of this year, we're back full force like we were. So,
and everybody's got to remember about our Barry Grossman interview, webinar, editing luxury pro— what's the name of it? Editing luxury properties.
Luxury real estate. 2 days away.
This cat is so— Barry Grossman, if you don't know him, he's so good. He's who you want to be. He's who I want to be. And I mean, just his work is and shooting the projects that I would love to be shooting. Yeah.
Well, he's here in Boston. I'm meeting him tonight, as I said, shooting the Mandarin Oriental Hotel for 4 days. So that's the kind of work he's getting. So he's big time.
Yeah, big time.
Anyway, Rich, I got to run.
Mr. Low Time Rolex. Yeah,
I got to run because I actually have to go to my next shoot. I have to leave in 5 minutes. I'm shooting in a half hour. But before I sign off, I'm going to thank iGUIDE, one of our sponsors. iGUIDE is a turnkey solution for those looking to expand their real estate photography business beyond photography to add 3D tours, laser accurate room measurements, square footage calculations, and professionally drafted floor plans. Get your first 5 iGUIDEs free by adding code SHOOTINGSPACES in the referral section at purchase. Visit goiGUIDE.com to learn more. And with that, I just want to make sure everyone tunes in next week. It's going to be our final episode of the season, and it is a good one. I think we went over an hour talking with Brandon just about the upcoming virtual conference. So it's going to be really exciting release and a lot of good info there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Awesome. Great. Okay, so listen, everybody out there, if you're not subscribed, please do so. But I can't imagine you wouldn't be subscribed to shootingspacespodcast.com. And check out shootingspaces.net, where we have all our webinars and our presets and all our educational stuff. Some great past webinars. So the webinar thing's coming along really good, really, really well. And we're going to have some really good ones coming up in the future. Right? So listen, you go out and shoot your Rolex spaces, man. Okay. No, it didn't work at all. I need people to call in with a good way of doing shooting spaces promo. So maybe we'll have a contest. Contact me if you've got something good out there. Okay.
So now you're going to get spammed with little catchphrases.
That's okay. I don't mind it. It's fun.
All right.
Okay, buddy. Have a good time, everybody.
This has been Shooting Spaces. For more episodes, visit shootingspacespodcast.com and visit our education site at shootingspaces.net.